This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Seawald in his fifth big league season now faces Seager. And the pitch to Corey. Swung on and a high drive. Deep right field. This one is way back. This one is history. The game is tied 5-5. Globe Life Field is on its feet for Corey Seager. A two-run homer, and Seawald has his first blown save of the postseason. The first run scored off him. And it's a new game in the bottom of the ninth.
Eric Nadel with the call, and it was at that moment that John Smoltz threw his scorebook in game one of the World Series. It is now 11 hours until Rangers pregame show with Jared Sandler. As it is opening day of the defending World Series champions. Let's get it, Bobby. Let's get it, Bobby Belt.
I'm ready, man. Never been more ready. So pumped. This is different. This is a different type of energy. You got to think the last title that this city won was the Mavericks, and they didn't get a proper chance to defend it because it was a lockout. They didn't play again until, what was it, December or something? I can't remember how late
it was.
The
lockout started. Yeah, and then of course they didn't really get
they
a chance
blew
to
it
defend
up.
It either.
It was weird. It was just a weird run that you didn't get to really enjoy. This is different. This is one where you expect, okay, this was a big victory, but That's hardly the last one you hope to be in contention for with this baseball team.
I mean, look, it's not the same exact team. No Jordan Montgomery, no Mitch Garver, but you bring in Wyatt Langford.
Yeah.
So you're replacing Garver, who's a good player. He had some big hits.
He had that big home run against the Orioles.
Huge, the granny. I mean, huge hits throughout the course of the year. And they'll make a trade at some point. They'll see how this thing starts. They'll see what happens. And maybe the starting rotation is worse than they think. Maybe it's better than they think, and they don't need to do anything. Maybe the bullpen's better than they think. Maybe it's worse, and they got to make a change there. So they've got guys they can do, that they can use, I should say, to make those moves with. But it's a great day. We get the banner raised. You get the sold-out house. Did you notice?
I saw you had shared series ticket prices or whatever, that now Texas and Chicago is way above everybody else.
Well, yeah, because Philadelphia at the time had the highest one. Mm-hmm. Their games rained out. But this is also it's from TickPick instead of not from ESPN. It's a little bit different. But according to TickPick.com, TickPick, Peyton.
Easy.
The Rangers and the Cubs opening day get in the door price. Cheapest ticket is $285.
Damn.
The next highest, and I assume that probably is the case for every defending champs opening day, it's going to be high.
Well, especially if you're getting a team like the Cubs.
You're getting a team like the Cubs, for one.
Which is a big draw.
Big draw. They're one of the five or six teams that's a big draw. And then you're going to get the defending champs, and you've never won before. And it's the opener. So the Rangers are $285 get the door. The next highest is Nats Reds at 164.
Wow.
And then Braves Phillies at 147, which they got a rain out. And then that's the only three above $100. And the Rangers are nearly $300. Astros host the Yankees. That is not a small series. That's a big series. $83.
Look,
the Rangers have a $200 more expensive get in the door ticket than the Astros.
Dude,
think about that.
Well, I mean, look, legitimate titles bring you big money. Big stadium revenue.
And Houston only has what, one of them? Or do they get two?
They have two.
They have two legit.
One of them we think might be legit.
No, I was counting. I was saying outside of that one.
No, I know. One is not legit.
Right.
And one is. Maybe.
Right.
Maybe. I can't assume anything with them.
No. I think the other one's legit.
I don't. Yeah. Peyton,
the first one,
you don't think it's legit?
First one I call into question.
Yeah. No.
I don't think so. I'm going to have to buzz you on that one.
Okay.
I think you're wrong.
I went and looked at this. This is from Baseball Reference. They do their projections every year. Their best and their average season. So they simulate the seasons like, I don't know, 10,000 times or whatever. They come up with your best and your worst and then your averages and then your postseason chances, your World Series chances, all that stuff. The projection on the Texas Rangers season this year, Bobby Belt, is what?
Let's see. It's felt pretty common so far. For people are saying right around 87. So I'll say they're saying 87.
87. Peyton, what are you saying?
I'm going to go 84.
84.
Really?
They say 82 and 80.
What?
Their best, and this is with 90% confidence, their best record in these simulations was 93-69.
Nice.
Okay. And their worst record was 71-91. I don't see that one happening.
Okay, so is that simulation like they start like randomly throwing in injuries to like Seager for the end of the year in April?
Yes. So like that's how they do it, right? They best case and worst case based off of bad luck, good luck, injuries, all the things. It has them with a 3% chance of winning the American League and a 1% chance of winning the World Series. They only have a 38% chance of making the postseason, according to Baseball Reference. Now, I've seen other places have them well above 50% of making the playoffs. I think ESPN had them closer to 60% of making the postseason. So that's just one thing. Now, so they have them finishing third in the AL West. Houston they've got as an 87-win team and Seattle as a 92-win team. Some other surprises across the bigs. They only have the Dodgers as a 94-win team. I think it's a little bit low, considering this is supposed to be the super team of all super teams.
Well, I mean, it depends. Is Shohei trying to, you know, that prop might be within his control. So
yeah, it is. The Dodgers' worst-case scenario is an 85-win team. That seems really, really low. They have the Yankees projected as, get this, 72-90.
Okay. What is their methodology?
It doesn't say. It's Baseball References. 1,000 simulations of the season and the playoffs. Their estimated quality is determined by the performance over the last 100 game seasons, even if spans multiple seasons, and a regression of the mean. So there you go. It's just looking at basically end of last year and off season and injuries. So there, that's that. I think this is way, way off, but I think this is a team that wins about 89 to 92 games. And I think you're going to win 90. I think they need to win 90 to make the playoffs this year.
So is that what you're going officially on the record? This is the official Sean and RJ morning show prediction.
Official,
Sean is not here for.
Yeah, I will go 92-70.
92-70. That'd be, you think that gets you into the postseason?
Yes, I think it absolutely gets you to the postseason. I think you would need to win about 90 games in the American League to get there, which is pretty much what you had to win last year.
Does it win you the AL West?
I think so. I think it does. Houston's got some injuries. I don't love their pitching. You know, if barring injury, like the way it is today, I think it wins you the West. I think it wins you the West by a game. I think Houston wins 91. I think Seattle wins 91 too.
Oh, so you think this is like another three-horse race down to the end?
I think it's a dogfight.
Who concerns you more, Houston or Seattle? Because of the pitching?
Pitching helps. They kind of went for it, right? So, like, Seattle scares me. The thing with Seattle is they got such a bad start last year. They were red hot at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Red hot. And then in J-Rod did not have a great first start of the first half of the season. If he does, if he picks up where he left off and he has that full season, first of all, he'll probably win the MVP. Second of all, they'll probably win the division by four games, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think they win. I think Rangers win 92 and the other two teams win 91.
I am excited for what I think will be. I think Nathan Eovaldi is going to continue to be really good. I think Dane Dunning is going to have another solid year. And I think that the way this team is going to hit and the type of power that they can play with, I think that's going to get you by. I think your rotation and your bullpen are going to be good enough to get you to, you know, later in the summer when you get back, DeGrom and Malley and Scherzer and those guys start to get ready. I think that you're going to be in a good position because this offense, I don't know how you pitch to the lineup, Chop. Like, I don't know how you, it's an offense that there's not really anywhere where you can comfortably get through three outs. It's just, it's not going to happen. And so I'm excited for Wyatt Langford. I think he hits 30 home runs as a rookie. I think his OPS is over 900. I think Evan Carter continues to play really well. Seager, if he stays healthy, I think he'll be right in the thick of the MVP conversation again. I mean, you're talking about in his career at Globe Life Field, I think he's played right around 162 games there now, Seager has, and he's hit like 52 career home runs.
He mashes.
He absolutely crushes it there. And so I'm really optimistic about things. I'm saying 95 and 67, and I'm saying the Rangers win the AL West and are right in the thick of it for another World Series title. In fact, I will say
Is Seager the MVP or top three? Or
I'll say Seager wins the MVP and Rangers go back-to-back and begin the dynasty. Peyton Russell, what do you got for us? Give us your outlook. You were the Miss Cleo or whatever last year. You were the big prognosticator.
I took a big risk. And it almost, I mean, they should have, because I picked 93 wins last season. They should have blown 93 out of the water.
Yeah.
But they struggled through August and September. Yeah, they got to 90, close enough. I'm going to go one win back, though. A little regression. I'm going to go 89-73 this year. I'm worried about the starting pitching.
Where does that finish in the division?
Third. But it's a wild card spot.
What is up with his?
It's a wild card spot. It's a wild card spot. I think 89 gets them in. And then we just got to do the same thing we did last year in the postseason. We're going to play road games. Just go 11-0 on the road. You're world champs again. The starting pitching and pitching overall, because the bullpen, there's so many questions. There's a lot of new faces in there, new arms. You know, it can't be as bad as last season. But, man, just the starting pitching is a big question mark. You're expecting Nathan Eovaldi to do the exact same thing he did in the postseason. It just, I don't know if you can buy that. So a lot of question marks pitching-wise. But the offense, I mean, yes, we're going to win games 11-10. But those games that your offense struggles, you know, it's going to hurt you.
It is. There's no doubt.
He doesn't even believe the song he just sang.
So 89-73, third in the AL West.
89-73.
Yeah. And then, but you have them running through all the way. So the World Series?
He's just saying that to cushion it.
I'm just saying, you know, like we just got to do what we did last year, right? You play all your games on the road, win all your games on the road in the postseason, you're world champs again.
This is why we should have. We should have asked him beforehand what his pick was so he could have gone first so we didn't have to end on that. 95 wins, and they go back-to-back. Damn it. Okay,
wow.
Peyton?
Whoa. All right.
I got Langford as the rookie of the year and third in the MVP.
Ooh.
I think he finishes ahead of Seager in the MVP.
That would be significant. That'd be pretty significant. And it'd be another year where the Rangers get top three MVP finishers.
Correct. Yes, absolutely.
I mean, if not for Ohtani last year, they go 1-2.
Yes, they do. That's very, very true.
So, all right. Well, Peyton's a buzzkill.
He's a buzzkill. What a buzzkill. Okay. It is Rangers opening day. It's Major League Baseball's real opening day. Forget the Soul Series. This is it. It's the real opening day. Less than 11 hours until Jared Sandler is on the mic at 6 o'clock for Rangers pregame show here on 105.3 The Fan. He will join the show next along with the Neighborhood Watch and my song.
Oh!
In the Expressway, commercial-free, for the rest of the hour. Next in the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
One hit in the eighth and three straight hits to start the ninth. Seven total hits. The 0-1. Simeon lines one deep to left center field. That ball is way back, and that ball is history. A two-run homer for Marcus Semien. It's 5-0 Rangers in the ninth.
Oh, so you just get goosies every time you hear it. Getting closer and closer to opening day. A lot of Rangers today. A lot of Rangers all day. Our song, or my song, coming up at 7:40. Bobby's song coming up at 8:40. Peyton already crushed it.
Oh my gosh!
At 6:40.
That's way up there.
High bar.
Near yours is one of the greatest songs played on this stage.
High bar. Rangers have a high bar to match from last year. So let's continue previewing it with the great Jared Sandler joining us here on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Morning, Jared. How are we?
Hey, okay, so 6:40, and then go back and listen to Peyton's song?
Oh, my gosh, dude. It's so good. He did Drake's back-to-back, and it was so good.
Okay, I can't wait. Way to go, Peyton. You know, Peyton was the star of this segment last year when he said that anything less than 95 wins would be unacceptable, and we were all kind of like, hey, Peyton, let's just like baby steps. Let's compete for a playoff spot and, you know, into September. And, look who, I mean, it didn't get to 95 wins. I don't know if I'm going to give Peyton credit. Peyton, they didn't win 95 wins. Was last year unacceptable?
No, it wasn't. But, I mean, they should have won 95 games, but, you know, they collapsed in September. So that's all right.
Got it. Okay.
Well, you know, Jared, you may have just missed Peyton. Just picked 89 wins and third in the West.
I saw the tweet, and Peyton did in talking to me before we got on air, tell me that 89 wins was his pick. So
big old hater.
Clearly, he thinks that the Rangers got significantly worse.
Mm. All right, so set us up for today. You know, obviously the ceremonies out at the ballpark, everything that's going to happen, the raising of the banner, all the things. Set us up for that.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be pretty cool. I think opening day is always really special, even the years in which, you know, you went into the season knowing that it was more likely going to be 90 losses rather than 90 wins. Opening day is always a lot of fun. Now, you know, this one, you go into opening day, it's the first opening day probably since 2016 where I think the majority of Rangers fans believe that this team can compete for World Series. Because last year, I there was a lot of skepticism. They hadn't done anything close to that in a while. So there's that excitement, right? There's the excitement of starting the season knowing that you're playing for something, which some might have felt that way last year, but I understand why not everyone did. And then on top of that, obviously, the excitement of being able to raise a banner. And if you think about it, in DFW sports history, we've gotten to experience this on Christmas Day with the Mavs in 2011, but that was after the lockout delayed the start of the season. We got to experience it in 2000 with the Stars after they won, or excuse me, in 99 with the Stars after they won in earlier that June in 99. And then we've got to experience it a few times with the Cowboys, but not for, you know, the lifetime of a lot of young sports fans, right?
So yep. Not since the internet.
So this is a this is going to be incredibly special. I can't wait. I don't know what to fully expect. I know, you know, they'll raise the banner. They'll introduce the team. But I would tell people this, if you're planning on going to the game.
Yeah, what time do we need to get there?
Yeah, I don't think that there's a time too early, because if you don't have a tailgate set up, you can just go to Texas Live. And there's a lot of cool stuff around the ballpark. If you want to go to the team store, get there early, because lines are probably going to be really long. If you want to check out the new food items, then you want to get there when gates open, I think at 3:30. Right for Rangers batting practice, I believe, which, you know, you don't always get to see all of Rangers batting practice with normal regular season gate opening times. So get there early and be in your seats by, I'd say, 6 o'clock the latest, if you want to experience the, you know, all the pomp and circumstance. So this is going to be incredibly special and an opportunity. If you think about it, guys, there is the parade, yes, but it's the first time the Rangers are really going to be in the ballpark with a big crowd since winning the World Series. And so it'll be awesome to get to celebrate the 2023 team.
Yeah, it is a parking lot's open at 2 o'clock today. G-Bag Nation will be out at the ballpark starting at 2 o'clock. They'll be there till 6 p.m. leading up to pregame for the Rangers and the Cubs. And gates open at 3:30, which is also, I think, what time batting practice starts for the Rangers. So like you mentioned, Jared, like everybody will be able to, if you get there early enough, you'll be able to get in there and view all the batting practice. Is there, just before we talk about like the specifics of the season, we were kicking this around a little bit earlier, talking about stuff. Is there any better day, even when it's not a World Series defending team, which is great, it levels it up all the more. Is there a better day in professional sports than Major League Baseball opening day? It just feels like a holiday for everybody. There's so much optimism. It to me is just the most. It's the most perfect, reliable day every year on the sports calendar. Like, that's going to be a great day.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, obviously there's always a ton of excitement for the first week of college football or the NFL. But in terms of the production of the game and the way the day plays out, you got games, you know, wire to wire all day long. And so many of them are nationally televised and available. And I think if you go to the game, I don't know that there's a better first game of a season experience in sports than baseball. I mean, I went to the Stars opener this year and it's cool. I mean, it's great. It's not that, you know, it's not that much different. Yeah. They announced the players sick, you know, NBA, the first game of the NBA season, same thing. It's, you know, they announced the whole roster. Pretty cool. Great. The pomp and circumstance, the way that baseball just makes such a production out of opening day is really, really special. I don't know that there's a cooler opening day experience in sports. Yep. Than going to a baseball game. I only went to one as a fan, and I was late to that because I had to get out of school. It was against the Angels, and as you can imagine, Vladimir Guerrero, I think, had a home run and an RBI double before I even got in the building. But I had friends who every year they, you know, it was a tradition with their family. They'd go to opening day. I had a teacher, Mrs. Haygood. She'd take off that day at school because she would go to opening day every year. And I understand why so many people make it a tradition. It's incredibly special. Yep. And I hope a lot of people listening are able to make it out today.
Yeah, it is just different. Like everything, like you said, I mean, there's so much more pomp and circumstance because the game itself, like, it's one of 162. It has very little impact on your season. NFL, I mean, opening week, I mean, it's 1/16th of a season, I mean, right, as opposed to 1/162nd. But there's no comparison because, you know, game two, Brett Boone yesterday told us that the second game is like, okay, now the grind starts.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. It's just very, very different. Okay, so there's been a lot of issues we've talked about in the offseason. Be it from injuries to pitching, you know, starting rotation, whatever. What's been the most overrated sort of talking point of the offseason, if you could pick one?
Well, I think if I get really specific, I think the concerns about the starting pitching have been maybe misguided in that.
Okay.
I don't think that the current rotation, and if you want to add Michael Lorenzen into the mix as well when he's ready, I don't think the current rotation is, you know, should be the biggest concern. It's not an elite rotation right now, 1 through 5. I think the concern should more be about the depth, right? We've talked about this. So I think some people have just generally expressed concern about the rotation. And I guess that's not off base because the depth is, is a part of that conversation. But right now, the guys they have in the rotation, you know, if they stay healthy, Evaldi, Gray, and what we saw with the way they use Andrew Heaney last year and Dunning and Bradford, and hopefully you get, first half Michael Lorenzen, that's a competitive group because this lineup has a chance to be way better than it was last year. And then the other thing that was a little overrated, I don't know for sure how it's going to play out, but I think from some people there's this thought that, well, Evan Carter won't hit lefties. And here, I think people need to remember, Evan Carter's younger than Wyatt Langford. He has not had a ton of, sample size experience hitting lefties. I'm not saying that Evan Carter is going to be a 300 hitter against lefties this year. But what I do think is that you need to give this guy some time to take his lumps, to get the experience of facing major league lefties. He really did not get a ton of experience in doing that last year. And there will be growing pains, but I don't think that you can just close the book and say, well, Evan Carter's not going to be able to hit lefties. I think that a part of what makes guys special as baseball players or athletes in general is their ability to make adjustments, their ability to take their weaknesses and, if not turn them into strengths, turn them into items of, neutrality, for lack of a better word. And I think that this guy's going to be able to do that. You just got to give him some time. So that was something that I just thought it was odd that we were putting a ceiling on a 21-year-old phenom like Evan Carter without really giving him a chance to show for sure that he can or can't do something.
It's interesting when you mentioned that specifically, Jared, the idea of Carter hitting lefties. I remember there was one of the articles last year, I think Jeff Passan had written when he, was covering the Rangers as they were, having the success they were, was he was talking about like the impact of Bochy and like the belief that Bochy has in players to see them through stuff that people don't believe they can. So like Jankowski, he used as an example where Travis Jankowski said like nobody ever believed in me to even get a shot against lefties. And like Boch gave me the opportunity a couple times last year. And like the very first time he got the opportunity, it was like a 2-3 hit game or whatever else. And Jankowski just talked about like what a big thing that was for him in terms of a confidence boost and things like that. So when we talk about like what Evan Carter's capable of or what anybody on this roster, these questions we would have, like it feels like Bochy's somebody who's going to give them the space to work those things out.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up, Bobby, because I think it's a tough thing to quantify. And I understand a part of what's awesome about being a fan of baseball and the conversation that goes along with it is that maybe in baseball more than any other sport, you can really debate lineup decisions, batting order, who should start, who shouldn't, right? In the NFL, you want to debate the starting running back, who cares? So Tony Pollard starts the game, but he might only get, 55% of the snaps, stuff like that. How often are we really debating starting quarterbacks on good teams, So, you have these discussions in baseball. I mean, if you don't start, you're on the bench. It's not like we have running substitutions like you do in other sports. And I think one of the things that sometimes gets lost is Bobby, what you talked about is when a manager is loyal to a player, doesn't guarantee results. I mean, Bruce Bochy could somehow get stuck with me on the roster and he has to, he's going to be loyal to me. I'm still going to hit oh, right? He can be as loyal to me as he wants, but I'm not getting hit off major league pitching. And I use that as an exaggerated example to say that it doesn't always pay off, but I think sometimes we forget that, these aren't robots, these are humans. And whether it's for that individual player, the Travis Jankowski example you use, or his teammates who notice how he's treating Travis Jankowski, a loyal manager, when all is said and done, is going to end up getting more out of his players than someone who's going to knee-jerk like we as fans all want to do and pull someone the minute they show any sign of slumping. Because then what happens to players is they have in their head, well, shoot, if I have like 3 straight games without a hit, I'm out of there. Like I'm gonna move around. I'm not going to get to play. And I think that's a part of what makes Bruce Bochy special is he knows how these guys are wired and he understands that, when everyone is yelling at me to pull Marcus Semien from the leadoff spot in the playoffs, I'm going to be loyal to this guy because he is a veteran who helped get us to this point. I believe he's going to turn things around. And guess what? Marcus Semien led the team in hits in the World Series out of the leadoff spot, right? So
you know, I think these things really do play a role, and I think it's a part of what makes Bruce Bochy special as a manager, is his understanding of that.
You know, all the different times that we've had you on, Jared, leading up to this opening day here, I still don't think one of the things we've talked about with you has been this new pitch that Dane Dunning has incorporated, the forkball, which I know he had talked
about.
That's
a throwback. You don't hear guys throwing forkballs that often anymore.
Hey, he's gonna Kevin Apier it. We're gonna be good. But I know he talked about like testing around the grip, like just playing catch during the playoff run, decided he liked it. But how are we making a little bit of this? I know there's been some conversation about this new pitch from Dane Dunning, but do you think that's going to be something we're going to see consistently worked into the mix for him?
Yeah, I mean, it did look pretty good in spring. I know in his penultimate start, I think he got two or three strikeouts off the forkball, and I think he used it all right on what day was it? Tuesday when he pitched. I don't know to what degree, you know, he'll break it out, but one of the things that Dane, you know, needs to improve upon is just to get a little more swing and miss. You know, I don't know that Dane's ever going to be a big time strikeout pitcher, but you know, it's never a bad thing if you can add the strikeout to your game, you know, at a higher degree. And, I think he, you know, feels like, hey, that slider, that helps him, especially against righties. But, you know, one of the things with whether it's a forkball or a splitter, because they're essentially the same pitch, slightly different grip, but most of the time they're platoon neutral pitches, which means that as a righty, you can have success with that pitch when you face righties and lefties. You know, Mike Bacsik brought up a great point about the, you know, the splitter / forkball in that, you know, with guys who are good changeup pitchers, that's awesome, but you really don't throw that pitch same side. So righties don't often, there are only a few pitchers who have a lot of success as righties throwing that pitch to righties or lefties to lefties, but you can throw the splitter as kind of a substitute for that pitch or the forkball, and that allows you to throw that one pitch to both righties and lefties typically, right? That's just what the data shows. The splitter in general, and I'll just use splitter as a term to include the forkball, was thrown more last year than any year ever in the pitch tracking era. Now, it was only a little over 2% of the time, but that was about a 50% jump from the previous high. And I expect that number to rise this year. As all sports do, baseball and its trends are cyclical. And there used to be this thought that, well, the splitter is going to get me hurt, and that's why guys stopped throwing it. But I think data has shown that there's nothing to prove that that's the case. The splitter was the most effective pitch in baseball last year. It was the toughest pitch to hit. It overtook the slider. It overtook the elevated fastball. Hitters are starting to make adjustments on the elevated fastball. It's still a really good pitch. It's not as dominant as it was a year, 2 years, 3 years ago. The splitter is in part really effective because of what I mentioned earlier. It is only thrown about 2% of the time. Hitters do not see that pitch a ton. So eventually there's going to be an oversaturation, but we still might be 2-3 years away from that. So guys who throw the splitter tend to have a little bit of an advantage because it's not a pitch you see very often. More and more pitchers are starting to adopt a splitter or a splitter variation like the forkball. And one of the guys who's been one of the best at throwing the splitter in baseball over the last 6-7 years is the guy who's going to take the mound tonight. And that's Nathan Eovaldi. That was such a big pitch for him. You know, I expect it to be a big part of his success this year.
Jared, I know one of the things when you were kind of anticipating the roster and trying to, you know, talk through what was going to happen, you said like, hey, the bullpen is like there's no telling how that thing's going to shake out and what they're going to ultimately decide on that front for the opening day roster. Just preview for us a little bit. Give us a capsule of, you know, the bullpen decisions, where they're at and what they have there with the pen, especially since a lot of the discussion is just centered around the starting rotation.
Yeah, there's a portion of the pen that is going to be, just like all major league bullpens, a little bit of a shuttle service. You know, Yeri Rodriguez made the team to start the season. He earned it with a great camp. But, you know, what happens if in game two, you know, the Rangers have to go to the bullpen early and they use Yeri Rodriguez for 3 innings and now they need to make sure that they've got, you know, fresh arms. Yeri Rodriguez is optionable. So you could, you know, send him down. Maybe Grant Anderson comes up. The Rangers early on in the season have a 17-game and 17-day stretch. So they're going to need protection. So every bullpen, more often than not, will be built with a couple of optionable guys who you can, you know, send back and forth as needed. So they've got that portion in the bullpen, and Jake Lattineri, Rodriguez are in spots, and maybe they're here wire to wire. But you know, I think with any bullpen, you also got to remember that it's just like the rotation. It's not just the eight guys who make the opening day roster you're going to rely on. It's, you know, probably four or five guys, maybe even more than that, over the course of the season. So even though Grant Anderson and Mark Church and some others didn't make the team, Jesus Tinoco, those guys are likely going to have to get some big outs for the Rangers at some point this season. And maybe even a guy we're not even talking about, like Grant Anderson last year. We were not talking right. about Grant Anderson at this time last year. And he ended up, you know, helping the Rangers when they needed some help in the middle of the season. I think the big question is, how are the late innings going to shake out? So we think that Jose Leclerc is going to get a bulk of the save opportunities early on. Who's going to give you the eighth? Who's going to give you the seventh? You know, if you're trying to protect a one-run lead, how much of it is going to be matchup-based? How much of it is going to be inning-based? You know, Bruce Bochy, you know, managed in an era where you had a guy pitch the seventh, a guy pitch the eighth, a guy pitch the ninth. But we've seen that, you know, Bruce Bochy adjusts, right? He's not, you know, set in his ways. And so last year we saw some of it be more matchup based. Kirby Yates is a righty, but lefties just do not touch him. I think right. they barely hit over 100 against him last year. So maybe when you get through the sixth inning, if you're looking ahead at the lineup and you see that the eighth has a chance to be more lefty heavy for the opposing team, maybe Kirby Yates gets the eighth that night. And maybe it's Josh Forbes in the seventh or David Robertson, whatever it might be. The other thing that's interesting, guys, is the Rangers have a closer or a presumed closer in Jose Leclerc, who's not one of these guys who's like, I have to close. And not that there's anything wrong with that, because you can make an argument that, hey, you want a closer that says the ninth inning is mine. Get the heck out of the way. I own those three outs. Josh Hader basically said that when the Astros acquired him. Said, no, I'm the closer. It's not Ryan Pressly. It's me. Not the guy who's helped this organization win a couple World Series. And you know what? Hey, if you back that up with the results, that's fine. There's also value in maybe a guy like Jose Leclerc, because if egos are not going to get in the way, that makes it a lot easier for Bruce Bochy to perhaps mix and match even in the ninth inning, much like the Mariners did 2 years ago with Andrés Muñoz and Paul Sewald and Eric Swanson and the group of relievers Scott Servais had. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see a few different guys get opportunities in the ninth inning. But I do think it's going to be Jose Leclerc to start the season.
Hey, we appreciate it, man. Have fun out there tonight. Enjoy the first banner raising, the Rangers opening day of the defending World Series champs. Talk to you later, man.
Hey, thanks, fellas.
Bye. Love you, Jared.
Jared Sandler, 6 o'clock pregame right here. 105 to the Fan. Rangers and Cubbies opening day. Let's go inside the hood.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We need to take people out of their bubbles and their safe place and make them think about the world we live in.
You are fake news.
So what do you guys hear? What's the scuttlebutt?
Damn it. We should have named it Inside the Hood. I like that, Chop. That might be better than Neighborhood Watch. But, I mean, it's already named what it is. We went through a lot of different name variations that we were considering. We settled on this. But Inside the Hood, you should have suggested that a while ago.
I should have. I didn't think of it.
Dang
it. I didn't think of it. I like it, though.
Our Facebook community group post of the week, as we always like to kick off with here on the Neighborhood Watch. Every Thursday during the Expressway, we got RJ Choppy's song coming up here, Rangers opening day song coming up here shortly. This one comes from the Wiley, Texas Facebook group. It's a private group that I joined.
We like Wiley.
Yes, we do. We had a great, that was our last Firehouse tour.
Yes, it was.
And it was
tremendous.
Fantastic. That was where we got the chili. That's where you you went and got smoke inhalation. And
that's right.
Did whatever you did. All right, so this is from the Wiley, Texas group. And this is relevant to you. Not so much to me. Probably not to Peyton. My insurance agent initiated my homeowner's insurance policy renewal 9 weeks early. And it jumped almost 50% this year. Anyone else seen homeowners insurance jump for no reason? Is this to offset the tax break we received? And you got people just pouring in going, mine went way up. Mine jumped. Everything went way up.
So the homeowner dues, the association
The homeowner insurance, it has gone up.
Oh, so not homeowner. This is homeowner's insurance. Okay.
Yes. So the homeowner's insurance apparently is skyrocketing in Wiley. One person said insurance companies are hemorrhaging money on personal lines, property, and auto liability insurance. The cost of loss is exceeding the amount of premium being charged in this area of the country, and it's not even close. Storms with monster hail like that came through North Texas a couple weeks ago, and tornadoes, along with the cost of labor, supplies, materials, parts, are the reasons insurance is going up tremendously. It's unfortunate, but it's the world we live in. So, Chop, when's your renewal coming? Because apparently it's going to go up.
You know, I have not noticed an increase in my insurance.
You've noticed an increase in, like, your water, right? Wasn't that true? No. Or it was too consistent, and you were becoming a little conspiracy-minded?
It was too consistent. It was becoming a little suspicious. My car insurance went up.
Dude, we had to change because mine jumped up. For no reason, mine jumped up like $150.
Yeah, mine went up considerably. My homeowner's is not.
Well, it's coming, apparently.
Or maybe not.
Not only in Wiley, other places are saying that, this has been climbing here.
Yeah, I had not noticed an increase in my homeowner's insurance. I'll just change plans. I'll just change to a different insurance company.
Good luck, because that one may be going up too.
For sure.
If you were in the colony yesterday and you happened to notice a helicopter circling over the course of a couple hours.
Dude, so I could have swore I saw Marine One flying over my house a couple of weeks ago. It wasn't. But what a nerd I am. I have an app that I go to where I could hit the nearby button.
Yeah.
You know, like the localized, and you can see exactly what plane is flying overhead. All right. So it's just like it's a flight app. I'm a flight nerd. And I was like, what is that? And it wasn't on there. It was some kind of military.
Ooh.
It was green. It was that kind of forest green with a white top.
It wasn't the all black just out one like going to Area 51?
No, it was not. Just like Marine One is, which is the plane, the helicopter the president flies from the White House to Andrews Air Force Base to go to Air Force One. And they're just same paint pattern and everything. Now Biden was not here. This was not when he was in town. So I was like, what is that? Is that, are they taking a flight? A test flight?
Lincoln Riley.
Right? No, he wouldn't go see Lincoln Riley either. I don't know what that was. I could have swore I saw that. I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah, this was if you noticed this helicopter circling low altitude, doing low altitude passes across the colony yesterday, there were a lot of people freaking out on Facebook, calling the police, trying to figure out, okay, what's happening here? What's going on here? If you noticed that yesterday, it was a DPS helicopter, and they were looking for a senior citizen who had dementia and had gone missing. She was just seen wandering in and out of the streets and had been seen in the colony. And so they were concerned. And so they put all resources out there. I didn't know they did that, though. Have you ever heard of that? Like to use a DPS chopper to look for one of those silver alerts where somebody's missing?
Do they have facial recognition software they can use?
I don't know. I don't know if it's just because she had been wandering. They were so concerned about maybe her getting a trap. They did find her late last night, and she was kept safe, but she was an elderly woman with dementia who had just kind of been seen wandering around, and people couldn't find her after they had called it in. And so DPS was circling the colony. So if you saw the helicopter circling the colony and thought, oh my gosh, fugitives are running loose in the colony tonight, it's not what it was.
I always wonder when I see a helicopter just kind of there, I'm like, all right, it's an accident or a fugitive or something like that. It's, you know, I see LA, they do it all the time, right? Like they have they just have choppers out there for police chases.
Traffic choppers.
And traffic.
Yeah, they're out there. And so, now that's what was going on in the colony yesterday. Tonight, if you're heading out to the Rangers game, there is thunderstorms are in the forecast for this evening.
They are? Choppy.
They are. Yeah, it's not.
That's why I hate spring.
I know.
I love summer and I like fall. Spring can't make its mind up. All right? It's winter and summer fighting each other. All right? It's fighting. So some days it's hot. Some days it's cold. It's always windy. All right? You get the storms. Give me summer. Give me fall. Springtime, man.
Not a big chance, but there is a chance of some thunderstorms tonight. So they said just kind of be on the lookout.
Hail. Cool.
If they not super severe ones, it's a low level risk. But if they pop up while you're out in Arlington, that is the case. Bishop Jakes, RJ Choppy, Bishop TD Jakes.
Okay.
T Diddy.
Yes, sir.
He has been named. The Dallas Morning News has this up. T TD Jakes was named in a lawsuit against Sean Diddy Combs this week.
Oh, really?
Yes, very interesting. So TD Jakes, obviously the senior pastor of the Potter's House in Southern
Dallas. I saw Prince Harry was in the lawsuit.
Was he?
He was named in it, like, as somebody who knew Diddy.
Well, this is a little similar. There's nothing salacious, at least from the text of the lawsuit, about TD Jakes himself. But it's what Sean Diddy Combs intended to do with TD Jakes. So TD Jakes, the pastor of the Potter's House in South Dallas, obviously like really famous historic church in Dallas, has been named in the recent lawsuit against music producer Sean Diddy Combs as someone who might help rehabilitate Combs' public image. Dallas Morning News writes, Combs' Los Angeles and Miami homes were raided by federal agents Monday as part of a sex trafficking investigation. Over the past year, Combs has been the subject of several lawsuits that have accused him of sexual assault and sex trafficking. Recently discovered documents from a February 2024 federal lawsuit in the Southern District of New York filed by Rodney Lil Rod Jones.
Lil Rod
accuses Combs and several of his associates of participating in a sex trafficking venture. Jakes is mentioned once in Jones's 73-page suit, which states that Jones has irrefutable evidence of, quote, Mr. Combs detailing how he planned to leverage his relationship with Bishop T.D. Jakes to soften the impact on his public image of Cassie Ventura's lawsuit. So this guy is claiming, now that doesn't necessarily, that's not any sort of indictment on T.D. Jakes necessarily. That's just, that was Diddy's ultimate plan is what this guy's claiming. But he says that he has evidence of like, no, Diddy is like, has done these things. And not only that, he anticipated that with the public fallout of it, he was going to use T.D. Jakes as like, oh, I'll just have I'll have my forgiveness. I'll do my my Jimmy Swaggart moment. My I have failed you. They're going to do that. So T.D. Jakes mentioned this just the one time when the Dallas Morning News reached out to T.D. Jakes. He declined comment. Said,
I mean, if TD did that, that's what he's supposed to do, right?
Yeah, I mean, if he had nothing to do with it.
If he had nothing to do with it, but if he's trying to, you know, not only say rehabilitate the image, but rehabilitate.
Yes, that's his job.
Like as a
genuine thing. Yeah, absolutely. Now, if there's a bunch of different evidence that shows like, oh yeah, let's build your image back up. Like it's that would obviously be bad. No, there's no indication that that's what it is, but it does say that was, you know, Diddy's plan. Was that he wanted to do it that way. So that's a brief edition of the Neighborhood Watch because we got something much more important to get to.
Yes, we do.
We got to get to RJ Choppy. So Peyton already knocked it out of the park with his 640 song.
He was great. Go back and listen to it on the Odyssey app, 640.
You have chosen country music. I saw some people speculating, okay, is this Toby Keith?
I didn't even think of that.
Is this Garth? Should
have done Kobe. I'm sorry. Should
have been a Ranger.
Should have done Toby Keith. Rest in peace. But no, I went back to my roots, man. 90s country. Did it rock 90s country all through the playoffs last year. They rode it to the World Series.
A lot of success with it.
Did Neon Moon by Brooks and Dunn. That kicked it all off. Did Travis Tritt. Trouble. So I was like, you know what? I was struggling trying to find a song. I'm thinking Alan Jackson, thinking Garth Brooks. I started working on a little Garth.
The Dance. Okay.
It was gonna be Ain't Going Down Till the Sun Comes Up. It was with about Wyatt Langford. Don't send them down till the slump comes up.
Oh, beautiful.
But I said it's too hard to write. Mm. So I went back to Brooks and Dunn.
There we go.
The song that got line dancing popular again.
I'm standing, Ryan.
Boot scooting boogie.
Woo!
All right! Let's go, Ranger fans! Back to 90s country where we live. Here we go. We'll raise the banner in a few hours' time, and then Chuck Morgan will say it's baseball time. The globe starts jumping when the first Cubby batter goes down. We got Bombi and Carter, Langford and Young, and you know we'll get a gem when we pitch Nate Eovaldi. Dick makes it hard to repeat when he had another Tommy. Well, it's Wyatt's time. He'll hit the ball outy. We'll light up them fireworks. So when the stick goes boom, boom,
callback.
Boom, boom, boom. We'll hit flies to the alleys. That ball's history. Struck out Cubs in the first when you pitch Nate Eovaldi. Ha! Oh! Here we go. Bochy, bro. Come on, Rangers. Let's go. Boom sticking. Ha, 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 ha. Ho. Set him up. Shut him down. Take the Cubbies out back for a whooping. Yes, sir.
Damn right.
Ho. Three up. Three down. Sit him down. Big day to Baldy. One take. Yes, sir.
Well done, RJ.
Oh, woo! Thank you so much.
Fantastic job. Fantastically done. I would dance with my wife to this, and I don't dance.
Yeah?
Yeah, but I would dance to this.
Okay, very good, very good.
That is a banger right there.
Thank you. Thank you. I was excited about it. We'll play it. I'm sure we'll do all these again at some point.
Yeah, except mine.
No, we're going to do yours again. That's for dang sure. All right. A couple hours. 8 o'clock hour is coming up next. Hall of Famer. Former teammate of the great Mike Bassick. We'll get to the bottom of why John Smoltz hates the Rangers so much. Tom Glavine joins the show next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!